An ISU child welfare expert weighs in on reform efforts underway at the troubled Illinois DCFS, including now a $130 million budget increase.
Absolutely is essential to really get the agency back on its footing.
That's Doris Houston. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Monday, July 29th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason saying he's proud of the work he and the City Council have accomplished in the first year on the job. WGLT's Eric Stock looks back at Gleason's first 12 months and looks ahead to year two.
Gleason says the council meetings have become more focused, in part because staff has helped the council do its homework before casting votes.
I'm convinced they were not being prepped adequately, and some things played out in the council floor that otherwise could have been prevented, which is not suggesting unanimous votes.
One of Gleason's most pressing tasks in year two will be naming a new police chief. He and a committee he appointed interviewed eight candidates from among more than 60 applicants. There's no timeline for when he plans to fill the post. Gleason says the city has an excellent police department, but says he's not ruling out hiring an external candidate.
There is so much going on nationally with policing an outside candidate could emerge as the candidate. For those reasons, that it's a different look.
Gleason named two assistant chiefs to serve in the interim chief role in succeeding months. Gleason says both Greg Scott and Dan Doneth applied for the chief's job, and he says that seemed the most fair way to handle it. Gleason adds he believes the department's policy for handling immigration and customs enforcement that former Chief Clay Wheeler implemented last year was satisfactory in protecting undocumented immigrants, and he doesn't consider that to be an issue as the city hires a new chief.
When I think of priorities for this incoming police chief, that's not one of them. That's one where I'm satisfied that the police department currently operates in a way that they should.
And Gleason adds State Farm's recent announcement that it's planning to demolish its former headquarters downtown has sparked interest that he hopes will lead to another solution.
There does seem to be renewed interest. People that were sort of standing on the sidelines and were assuming that something was going to happen, maybe they get more involved in the conversation, and we'll see where we land on this.
Gleason says the best option would be for a private company to take over the building, but he says nothing is off the table. I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Union workers at ISU are still negotiating higher pay after over a year of working on expired contracts. ISU President Larry Dietz says representatives from both sides are working on a resolution. 150 of ISU's 500 unionized workers make less than $15 an hour. An apparent lack of effectiveness of Scott's Law, the so-called move-over law when approaching a trooper on the side of the highway, has alarmed state and federal lawmakers. They say they may need to get tougher and more changes could be coming. And less than half the corn and soybean crops in Illinois are in good to excellent condition, according to the latest crop progress report from USDA. That's fewer crops than usual at this point in the year. It's due to the wet spring that delayed planting for many farmers across the state. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services is in a state of major transition. It's being run by a new director and a new governor who are pushing for reforms. And public scrutiny is intense following the high-profile deaths of several children in DCFS's orbit earlier this year. To learn more about reform efforts at DCFS, I spoke with Doris Houston, director of Illinois State University's Center for Child Welfare and Adoption Studies.
We certainly have had a number of high-profile child deaths that have just been devastating to our citizenry. But at the same time, it's certainly an opportunity for change and an opportunity to move forward, to try some new ideas, and to really engage the new leadership that has stepped forward to lead the state's child welfare agency.
And speaking of that new leadership, what do you think of what the Pritzker administration has done so far when it comes to first steps on DCFS and some reforms?
Well, I would say in the short period of time, there seems to be a methodical process that the governor's office and his staff are following. You first want to assess what the concerns are. There have been a number of independent reports that have really looked at a number of structural avenues, as well as practice and training and workforce avenues that need to be addressed. So some of those reports include a report by the Office of the Auditor General. There was a Chapin Hall report that, again, looked at a number of areas within child welfare in terms of outcomes, in terms of workforce training, et cetera. And then DCFS's own Office of Inspector General. So I would think for any new administration, the first place to start would be to do a detailed evaluation of what is working and what is not. Certainly, the governor does not have a lot of time because these are really, really pressing issues that our state is facing.
So the governor and lawmakers came together with the new budget that went into effect about 3 weeks ago now to find some more money for DCFS. It'll get an 11% budget increase, so it's around $130 million in new money. How much of a difference do you think that amount of money makes with a department like DCFS?
It makes a huge difference, particularly when we understand that there has been a trend towards budget cuts with over the past several years. And those budget cuts not only have affected DCFS, but it has really been a devastation to a number of the community-based nonprofit organizations that serve the very families and children that we want to either keep out of DCFS involvement or we rely on them when a child does come into foster care. So a number of the smaller agencies over the past several years have had to close their doors either due to budget cuts or very slow pay, where agencies have had to wait months, sometimes upward of 9 months, to receive their funding. And if you're a small agency that's in the community doing good work, it's difficult to maintain without the funding. So I really look at the increases that have occurred this year as absolutely as essential to really get the agency back on its footing in terms of hiring, in terms of resources, even things we don't think of like data management. All of those kinds of things really, take resources.
Hear more of this interview with ISU child welfare expert Doris Houston this week on WGLT's Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, Bloomington residents can provide input on how the community should spend $1 million in federal community development block grant funding to improve housing in neighborhoods. The public meeting is tonight at the Bloomington Public Library in the community room from 5:30 to 7. A similar meeting was held last week in Normal. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast. You're also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.